Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. You can be seated. You do not want to miss. We're getting feedback here. You got to fix that. I got hearing aids. My head will come right off. This Sunday morning, you do not want to miss service this Sunday morning. Shouldn't miss it any time. But Brother Oliver, pastor in El Paso, Texas, which happens to be my daughter's father-in-law, and a tremendous man of God. My daughter and son-in-law were in our church in Ventura several times. Brother Oliver would come. They were coming to visit the kids and the grandkids. But our church so looked forward to having Brother Oliver come and minister the word of the Lord. Now, he's not like me in the sense that I'm just all over the place. But he's older than me, too. But up until just recently, he didn't have any hobbies. He didn't do anything except study the Bible and pray and preach. And I'll tell you what, he'll bring you some nuggets out of the Word of God it'll move you. I'm looking forward to him coming. I want to hear the word of the Lord. In fact, he and I get together on the phone occasionally. We've made some plans that once a month or so, we're just going to meet probably in Socorro, and we'll just rent us a motel, and we'll spend all day talking about the word of God and up into the night, and then we'll go our separate ways. The man loves the word of God. Hallelujah. I love the word of God. And I love people that love the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Now I want you to bear with me a little in my folly. I do not sing. I make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But I want you to listen to the words of this song. It's older than dirt. It's old. But get past the voice and listen to the words. Walking by faith with Christ the Lord, trusting completely in His Word, with the assurance He will guide me over the foam. Having no cause to fear or dread, fear of the things that lie ahead, walking by faith with Jesus my on my way home. I'm walking by faith in Jesus my Lord. I'm striving each day to gain a reward. Till I reach home, no more will I roam. I'm walking by faith with Jesus the Lord. Finding great joy along the way, walking with Jesus every day, knowing that while I walk with Him, I never shall roam. Something within me floods my soul, something that never has been told. Walking by faith with Jesus the Lord, I'm walking by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting goodbye in His great love. I do. Jog. It's not a scramble. Hallelujah. I know the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. But I want to tell you, this walk with Jesus is a faith walk. Hallelujah. We walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Amen. But by the way, faith has eyes. Hallelujah. You can just figure that out. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of James, the first chapter. Thank you, Sister Allred. Would you help her, Brother Maldonado? I sure would hate for her to fall. That would not be good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. James, the first chapter. We want to start reading verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Jesus, bless your word tonight. It's already anointed. But I desperately need your anointing. This congregation needs your anointing tonight. Would you open up our hearts that we could receive the engrafted word that is able to save our souls. And we'll be eternally grateful, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. I don't have a title for this message tonight. I told Sister Jackie I was just going to preach the Bible tonight. But not the whole Bible. Just a little bit of the Bible. Jesus had four brothers and at least two sisters. Now, the reason I say at least two, it names his brothers, but it doesn't name his sisters. It just says sisters. So if it's got to be plural, is at least two. He might have had 10 sisters for all we know. I don't know. But at least two. Two of his half-brothers wrote two books of the New Testament. James and Jude. These are two of the brothers of Jesus. One of them was Simon, I think. I can't remember the other one. James, the author of this epistle that we read from tonight, was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. He is one of the three in the Bible in the New Testament are called pillars. James is one of those pillars. He was called James the Just. And the reason he was called James the Just, while Jesus walked the earth, James was not converted. He did not truly believe that Jesus was who he said he was. And I said they were half-brothers. That means they had the same mother, but not the same father. And in spite of what the Catholic Church teaches, Mary was not forever a virgin. And by the way, Mary had to be saved too. She was in the upper room at Pentecost, specifically names her. Okay, now let's not go past that. And so he was called James the Just. When they laid James out after he was beheaded, when they waiting for Passover, they beheaded James. And after Passover, they were going to behead Peter. But Peter got let out of jail. Okay. And so when they laid James' body out to bury him, as they were dressing him, preparing him for burial, they looked at his knees. And history tells us he had knees like a camel. So calloused, because he felt so unworthy of serving the Lord, because in Jesus' lifetime he did not believe. But so he gave himself to prayer. And he was a tremendous man of prayer. And so he was called James the Just. I read to you tonight from the Epistle of James. The book of James is the first epistle written in the New Testament. It's the very first one. I'm not talking Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm talking about the first of the epistles. There's no mention of Gentiles in here, so it was before Peter went to Cornelius' house. And so James was certainly a tremendous man of God to pastor that colossal church. It was a growing church. Started with 120, 3,000 added, 5,000 added. That's why he had to pray. How would you like to have 8,000 new converts, Pastor? I'd sure like to give it a try. Hallelujah. We had revival in Ventura from January the 1st till April the 1st. We had 35 people receive the Holy Ghost, and we baptized them in Jesus' name. I wore myself to a frazzle, man. I was up day and night, and I was glad to have it. Hallelujah. It didn't bother me at all. Now, Martin Luther, how many's ever heard of Martin Luther? Martin Luther did not like the book of James. Now, Martin Luther is one of the reformers. He was a Catholic priest. He got fed up with the Catholic Church, and he nailed on the door of the church 97 theses. He nailed it to the front door of the church. He was disgusted with the way the Catholic Church was going. And the thing that ticked him off was they were selling indulgences. Indulgence was a license to sin. And the saying was, as soon as the money hits the bottom of the coffer, your sins are forgiven. And they ain't changed not one bit. If you got the money, they'll do this or that. If you don't, they won't. That's just the way it is. And the reason he didn't like the book of James, now Martin Luther left the Catholic Church, became the founder of the Lutheran Church, and he later became the Lutheran Church, because he believed in salvation totally by faith. Now, I sang Walking by Faith tonight. But James, he didn't like the book of James, because James said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith without works is dead. If your faith hasn't moved you to do something, you ain't got faith. It's not saving faith. It might be belief. It might be an opinion. But this faith that we're talking about tonight, it is a verb. It is an action verb. It moves you. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. And so the Bible teaches very plainly, Romans 12:3, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And so tonight we're going to be talking a bit, teaching here tonight. It's going to be beans and taters. Okay, can you folks help me out there? Praise God. We sang Walking by Faith. How many tonight practice regularly reading the Word of God? Now, if I don't break my neck here, we are in the dark. David said, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." The first act of God that we have recorded, it says, "And the earth was darkness was over the face of the deep, and the earth was without form and void. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." The Bible says the light shines into the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Apostle Paul said he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. John said that Jesus was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And David said it again, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You can turn on the lights. I ask you, how many practiced regularly reading the Word of God? I want you to think about that. James said, "He that looks into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, this man or this person shall be blessed in his deed." And friend, when Jesus blesses you, you are blessed. You are blessed. Now, I hadn't thought about this, I don't think, ever before, but until today. When James said, "Be you a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own self," there was no New Testament. It wasn't written yet. And yet James pastored an apostolic church. And so, you know, heard about the boy went to school and the teacher said, "Hey, Johnny." He said, "Yeah, teacher." And he said, "I can tell you what you had for breakfast this morning." And he said, "What did I have for breakfast, teacher?" And he said, "You had scrambled eggs." He said, "No, that was yesterday." He had eggs on his face. And James said, "Whosoever looketh, be you a doer of the word and not a hearer only." Now, I'm going to tell you, you can't do if you don't hear. Amen. Now, when I talk about hearing, I'm not talking about the vibrations. I'm talking about hearing with the heart. Your heart has ears too. And so it's talking about hearing the word. James said, if we hear the word and don't do it, we're like a man that looks at his face in the mirror and goes his way and forgets what manner of person he was. And I want to talk about that tonight. I like the energy that we have here and the rejoicing and the shouting and the singing. And even though I don't know half the songs, but I don't even know a third of them. I don't even know an eighth of the songs. But I like the exuberance and I like the enthusiasm and the joyfulness that we have and express in the house of God. We must never get away from that. I would be deeply upset if we did. At the same time, we have to have something that keeps us on track with God. And so I'm talking about the word of the Lord today. You cannot be a successful Christian if you do not read the Word. Now, if you do not, now I'm not throwing rocks if you don't know how to read fluently or at a great rate of speed. I'm not. Thank God we've got CDs, and I'm coming from the cassette day. You know, man, I go back to the LP and the 8 tracks. You know. if you have difficulty saying some of those words in the Bible, then get you the Bible on CD or cassette, and then read along with it. Read out loud. It's not a race to see how many chapters you can get done today. Now, when I read the Bible, I read it very slowly. And I read it out loud to myself. Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. And by the way, every word of God is pure. James said, the perfect law of liberty. Now, sometimes you talk about the word law and people think of bondage. No, James said, this is the perfect law of liberty. David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's going to give you liberty. There's nothing so exciting, Brother Maldonado, as being free from sin. Hallelujah! Ooh, man, I'm telling you, I'm not saying I don't have the ability to sin, and I'm not saying I haven't made some mistakes and had to repent, because I have. But I'm telling you, there's nothing that is comparable to when the Lord forgives you. Amen. There's nothing like it. And it's liberty. We live in liberty. Now, David said, also, I want you to open your Bibles up to the 119th Psalm. I'm not going to preach the whole 119th Psalm. I'd be talking to myself after a while. David said, but let me tell you about the 119th Psalm. The Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters. We have 26 in the English, but there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. The 119th Psalm is written in octaves. Now, an octave is 8 notes. And so if you look at Psalm 119, you'll see those funny little words at the top. And every 8 verses, there is a new word. Those are the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And the way it was written, each of those 8 verses originally in the Hebrew started with that letter of the alphabet. And the reason it was written in that form or that fashion, it was a literary tactic so that people could memorize the word. Now, the book of Lamentations is the same way. It has 5 chapters. The first 2 chapters have 22 verses. The middle chapter has 66. And the last 2 have 22. And so, though it's written in that same fashion. And so, the 122nd Psalm, David said this in Psalm 119, starting at verse number 30. He said this about the word of the Lord. He says, wait a minute, I got 119, 130, excuse me. That's why it didn't look right. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Would you like that to be true in your life? Well, what does it? The entrance of thy law bringeth light. Bringeth light. And it will help us to order our steps in the Word. Let not iniquity have dominion over me. In Romans 6, Paul said, for sin shall not have dominion over you. To the saved, the filled with the Holy Ghost, listen to the commandment of Romans 6. Let not sin have dominion. That means rulership or authority over you. That you should obey it in the lusts thereof. And so David said the way to make sure that sin does not have dominion over our lives. It doesn't rule our life. We've got to have the entrance of His law that brings light into our life. Amen. Just stick with me here tonight. Praise God. And so, Psalm 133. Jeremiah made this statement in Jeremiah 8:22. It will be familiar to some. And in the future, at some point in time, if God will let me, I'm going to preach from this text. But tonight, I just want to read it, and you can digest it yourself. And it says here in Jeremiah 8:22, he says, or he asks the question, is there no balm, B-A-L-M, in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Now, Gilead was world renowned for its balm, which was I've heard some people advertise it on the radio, tiger balm. You know, I guess I think it's for arthritis. I don't know. But anyway, I've heard it advertised. But Gilead was world renowned for its balm. Nobody is able to determine exactly what it was, but it was a medicinal salve that was manufactured in Gilead. In fact, when Jacob went down to Egypt, when Joseph invited him down there, one of the presents that he brought to Pharaoh was balm because of its healing properties. And so Jeremiah is writing to a people that have gone astray. They've been turned into idolatry. And if you read it later on, the next chapter, the first verse, he said, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep for the abominations of his people. And he said, oh, that I had a house in the wilderness that I might hide away. I'm just paraphrasing. He was so disappointed and he was so grief-stricken because Israel had gone away from God. And he laments. He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Gilead was part of Israel. It was a province. It was a geographical, like a county. And it was world-renowned for its healing balm and for the physicians that knew how to administer it. And Jeremiah says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? And the lesson that Jeremiah is bringing is they haven't practiced what they preached. They were famous for sending it to everybody else. They sent it around the world. It was highly valuable. People wanted it. But somewhere along the line, the people that manufactured it didn't apply it. Consequently, they were in trouble with God. And so here we are tonight. Now let's go back to Psalm 119. And I want to read verses 9, 10, and 11. Listen to the words of David. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? I want to say it's not limited to young men. I'm an old man. How can an old man, a young man, an old woman, a young woman, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. And so what I'm talking about tonight, I feel such a deep burden. I'm not running and jumping tonight, but I feel such a deep burden that there's a vital need that must be met. Well, I didn't ask for a show of hands, but I did ask the question, how many have regularly practiced of reading the Word of God? And I want to encourage and uplift you and let you know that there is something medicinal about reading the Word of God. I'm going to tell you it's not like any other book. Now, I've got hundreds of books at my house and boxes on my patio soon to be put in my bookshelves. I mean, many of them are preaching Bible books, but I have lots of boxes of novels. I like to read novels. I like to read Tom Clancy and John Grisham and Stephen Koontz. Those are military and law, and I like lawyer books. If I wasn't a preacher, I'd be a lawyer. That's too low. Hallelujah. Really. But once you've read a novel, you've read it. Now, I read them over just for recreation. But I already know what's going to happen. I know who did it. I just read it just to pass time so I can fall asleep at nighttime. But the Bible is not like that. The Bible is new every day. People say, why should I pay any attention to the Bible? You know, 2,000 years old, the New Testament. And now they call the Old Testament the Old Bible. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. A good thing to do if you want to just get going. The book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. Our church in Ventura did it one year. I made an assignment and I made sure we all did it. I told them, this year, we're going to read at least one chapter a day in the book of Proverbs. And we'll read the book of Proverbs all the way through, once a month. And at the end of the year, we will have read the book of Proverbs 12 times. And I'm going to tell you, that book of Proverbs is full of one-sentence sermons. And I'm going to tell you, you better be careful when you read it, because you're going to find yourself under the bench. Because it will hit you right where you live. And it made a change in the people in our church's life. I'm telling you, they started quoting Proverbs. I mean, they started living Proverbs. I'm telling you, the Lord really worked in that congregation. And so David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Notice John in the book of epistle of 1 John. Now, we're just going through a lot of Bible scriptures tonight. If you're waiting for something, a shoe to fall, there ain't going to be no shoe falling. We're just talking about the importance of taking time to read the Word of the Lord. I know we live busy lives. We're busy in this church. There's something going on all the time. But if you're too busy to read the Word of God, you better quit something else and read the Word of God. If you know more about, I don't want to say that. If you know more about the latest movie and you don't know nothing about the Bible, you are in deep trouble. If you can name the hit tunes from here to yonder and you can't quote nothing out of the Bible, you don't even know which it's in the Old or the New Testament, I'm telling you, my brother, my sister, you're in deep trouble. You cannot live for God. You're walking in the dark. You're stumbling around and it's not good for you. That's why you find yourself with reoccurring problems. The same thing over and over and over and over until past. I've been one. I know. And so, this notice what John said in the epistle of 1 John, starting with the 5th verse, 1st chapter and the 5th verse. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, talking about Jesus, and declare unto you, listen to this, that God is light. I want you to say that with me. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Okie say at all. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Now listen, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, talking about God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, I didn't say that. John said it. John the Beloved. Now, listen to verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Apostle Paul talked about it. I don't have the verse. It just came to me right now. He said, we receive the washing of the water by the Word. Now, he's not talking about water baptism there. He's using a metaphor. And you know, when you wash in water, don't you? And why do you do that? Because you want to get the dirt off. Hopefully, hot water, you know. And so what happens when you hear the Word of God preached? There should be a cleansing effect. Now, it makes some people nervous when the preacher gets, we talk about, you know, just getting right down to the brass tacks of it. You got to call sin, sin, friend. You just can't, you know. And they get nervous. But I like it when I'm sitting in the congregation. I like it because if there's something filthy in my heart, in my spirit, in my attitude, in my life, in my walk, I am guaranteed that God's Word will shine the light on it. And I want that. I want that. That's why we have an altar in the church. Man, when something hits me in my heart, I just want to get off the corner by myself and I just want to talk to God. Now, when I talk to God, I talk plain to God. I don't have to be politically correct. I don't have to search for a soft word. I just can tell it like it is. And there's been times when I've said, now, God, you know I am a jerk. Now, I don't want you calling me a jerk, but I can call myself a jerk. Or sometimes I just have to say, God, I'm as dumb as a stump. How come I didn't know that? How come I got in that pickle? I know what the Word of God said. Why did I do that? Because we all deal with our flesh. And if we walk after the flesh, we can't please God. And if we live after the flesh, we keep letting our old life dominate us. I'm going to tell you, James said, or Paul said, ye shall die. And he's not talking about physical death. He's talking about that spiritual death. We lose out with God. And so, I don't want that to happen. Now, I'm going to share a little something personal with you tonight, and then we'll move right along, and we're almost to the end. There's some things I want from God. And the Bible says we have not because we don't ask. Or we ask amiss that we might consume it upon our love, on lust. Jesus taught on prayer and He said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto him. And some time ago, I don't know the time frame, but I just began to pray and on this subject, and I was praying, and I said, God, I want the gift of faith. And you said in Mark 11:24, says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And I've just been praying and I said, now God, I want the gift of faith. And I want you to teach me how to pray the prayer of faith. And I said, also, God, I want you to give me the gifts of healing. And I said, now, Lord, there's not anything egotistical about this in me, Lord. I don't want to attract any attention to myself. But there are so many people that are sick and suffering. So many saints of God that are sick and so forth and so on. And I said, God, it's not right. It's just not right. And something has to happen. And I prayed that. I'm praying it every day. I'm just telling you. I wake up during the night. I might wake up 3 o'clock in the morning. One of the first things out of my mouth is, Jesus, I love you. And I want you to give me the gift of faith. And I want to learn how to pray the prayer of faith. And I want the gifts of healing. Not for myself, but for others. And as I live and breathe, I've been praying that prayer for some time, I don't know how long. And one morning, Pastor, when I was praying, I think it was 3 o'clock in the morning. I didn't set my alarm to get up there. I'm not that kind of a person. In 5 o'clock prayer meetings, I fall asleep. I just don't. My friend, Brother Molander, my mentor, he used to come and preach us revivals, and he wanted everybody at the church at 4 o'clock in the morning to pray from 4 to 5. And I said, now, Brother Molander, you go to bed when the sun goes down. I go to bed at 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'll come down there and meet you. But if you hear me snoring, don't get on to me. God can hear me at 5 o'clock in the afternoon just as well as He can hear me at 5 o'clock in the morning. Been waking up, and one of the first things out of my mouth is, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I want the gift of faith. And I want to pray that. I want you to teach me to pray the prayer of faith. I don't know what it is. I just want to know how. And I want the gifts of healing. And as I live and breathe, one morning I woke up and I was praying that prayer. And it was as if the Lord spoke out loud to me. I'm not saying He did, but when God speaks, it's plain. And He told me, Brother Arnie, to read 1 Corinthians 14:1. I'm praying for faith and the gifts of healing and to know how to pray the prayer of faith. And the Lord says, read 1 Corinthians 14:1. So I got up out of bed and I got my Bible. Well, it was right there on the bed. I didn't have to get out. I had it laying right there. Turn on the light. And you know what it says? Follow after charity. Desire spiritual gifts. And I thought, well, why do you have me read that? And then I read it again. Before it said desire spiritual gifts, said follow after charity. Pursue it. Seek it. Reach for it. Develop it. Get it. Charity. And by the way, the word charity is the Greek word agape. It's talking about God's sacrificial love that wishes the best for us. It's not filial love. It's not sensual love. It's not sexual love. No. Charity. And as I sat there, I was just shell-shocked. And so I said, well, follow after charity. So I read the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. There are 15 things that the writer says about charity. 8 of them are positives, 7 of them are negatives. Here's what he says. Love is patient. Now, my wife can vouch for the fact that I am not patient. I'm not bragging about that, man. I've been repenting is what I've been doing. Why? The entrance of thy law brings light. The Lord had his flashlight down on me. Spotlight. You want spiritual gifts, huh? You want the gift of faith, huh? You want to know how to pray the prayer of faith, huh? You want the gifts of healing? Follow after charity. It so convicted me. I just broke down. I had a hard time, Brother Boss, praying for the gift of faith. Because one of those, the first rattle out of the box. Charity is patient. Now, don't pray for patience. You think you got troubles now, you just start praying for patience. Tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. And so, I'm working on it. I don't know if I'm being successful or not, but I'm working on it. And then love is kind. Some of these things didn't bother me at all, but some of them did. Love does not envy. That's wanting something somebody else has. Because that Bible says, be content with what things you have. The Bible says, godliness with contentment is great gain. It talks about covetousness, which is sin. Envy. Love does not boast. Are you a braggart? I don't ask you to raise your hand. Love is not proud. It is not rude. This is I'm reading this from the NIV. It says it a little better. Those words in the King James are a little hard to get around. You know, I mean, they're hard to get your brain around. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. Oh, boy. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. You got a little black book? Some people got a mind like an elephant. They never forget. Well, it's right cutting to the bone, friends, today. I'm telling God just knocked the far out of me. I'm sitting in my bed reading, and I mean, He just knocked me for a loop. I'm not sad about it. It hurt a whole lot. And so it doesn't keep a record of wrongs. And I feel to stop there for just a minute, not to judge anybody, but I'm just telling you. If you keep remembering things that have happened in the past and you cannot get over that, you or I are not going anywhere with God. I'll read you some scriptures in just a minute. Okay. And so, we've all been hurt. I believe most of us in here have been betrayed. And I'm going to tell you from personal experience, it is so painful. It is so painful. Because if you keep a record of the wrongs done to you and it makes you angry every time you think about it, don't just blink your eyes. Don't nod your head. Don't shake your head. Don't give any extra. If you can think of certain things that have happened and you start getting mad or angry, anger has a shelf life. And it turns into bitterness. And when bitterness comes in, many are defiled. So love causes us to throw that little black book away. I don't have a little black book here. But when you bring it to this altar, you lay it right there. I'm giving it to you, Jesus. If it comes into my mind, I'm changing channels on my mind. I'm going to pray until you renew me in the spirit of my mind. If the sight of that person irritates you, or you see him downtown and you go the other way, you better bring that book to the altar so that you can greet them. So I don't want to be a hypocrite. Well, it's better than going to hell, ain't it? Feelings follow faith. Say that with me. Feelings follow faith. So what? By faith, forgive. Be done with it. You say, well, I don't feel any different. You just keep reminding yourself, I forgive. I forgive. I forgive. And pretty soon, feeling follows faith. Now, if you follow feelings, you're going to be in trouble. But feelings follow faith. And so, let me move on. I got to get done here. And I'm right at the end. It keeps no record of wrongs. What does? Charity. It does not delight in evil. Might ought to think about that. It's what we read, what we see, what entertains us, what we take pleasure in. If it's evil, it ain't love. Okay. But charity rejoices in truth. Charity rejoices in truth. Charity always protects. Charity always trusts. Now, I know I'm hitting a nerve right there. I'm not. The Word of God is. I'm just reading you the Word of God. Trust. Trust. Such a valuable thing. When it's broken, it takes a while to build. And so, I can't trust anybody anymore. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And we can trust. We can trust. Charity always hopes. In other words, you're not a pessimist. You're positive. You say, why is that important? Because hope is an anchor of the soul. I have hope of a land that's better. I have hope. I have hope. I have hope. In fact, the Bible even says we're saved by hope. So if we're going to live for God, we got to have a positive outlook. And I don't care what's going on in this world out here. This world makes me sick. It's upside down. I get tired of hearing it. I just can't stand it. But bless your heart, I have hope. The world's going to hell in a handbasket and there's people pushing the wagon. But you know what? The things which are seen are temporal. But the things that are not seen are eternal. And the Bible says that we abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And what I'm saying to you is, I'm just telling off on myself here. And then love always, everybody say always, perseveres. What does that mean? Yeah, hang in there. One, I don't know, somebody in the Army or the Marines, I don't know, says when the going gets rough, the tough get going. And I'm telling them, when we live it for God, it's not for sissies. Living for God is for men and women and young men and young women. And why? Because we're not just going to give up because something went wrong. It rains on the just and the unjust. We don't live a charmed life. We do have the favor of God. There are some things going to go wrong. That's beyond your control. And you're just going to say, where's God? I'm going to tell you where God is. God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. He is an ever-present help in the time of need. The Lord is on my right hand. I shall not be moved. So it's not so much how fast you run and shout and jump and turn flips and somersaults. I've never been able to turn a flip, but I've done some running and rolling and jumping, and I plan to do some more. But I'm just, God healed my knees the other night. I can move! It feels so sweet to be able to walk without pain. When Brother Langford was preaching about healing, he said, God wants to heal somebody tonight. I said, that'd be me. And I'm telling you, I felt the Lord touch my knee. I was afraid to, Brother Arnie, you know what I'm talking about. You know, I was afraid, what if it comes back? No. God's not a yes and a no. I was going to say something else, but offend somebody. But, you know, God doesn't give and take it back, you know. You know, Brother Fisher, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. You can laugh. I didn't do it. You know, colloquialisms can get you in trouble. I was preaching in North Carolina, and where I was preaching in North Carolina, the natives there are called Lumbee Indians. They look like Samoans. They're big. I mean, they are big bruisers. And I was preaching when I was only 20 something years old, and I was preaching away, and I said, "Don't you sit there like no wooden Indian." This big old guy, Brother Wayman Oxendine, he weighed about 300 pounds, 6 foot six. He, after church, he came up to me and he said, "Hey." I said, "What?" He said, "Lay off them wooden Indians." I said, where was I, Brother Fisher? I'm trying to get done. Perseveres. Let's get back to that. God heal my knees. That's it. I'm telling you, it feels so good. I've been walking my 3 miles a day, Brother Fisher. I'm getting in shape for hunting, but I'm telling you, it feels... Today I came home from work and I walked my 3 miles in 20 minutes. And I was just saying, all the way around, and I said, God, this feels so good to walk without pain. I'm not worried about God taking it away. No. But I'm going to tell you, when I'm talking about walking in the light of the Word, I got to close. Now, walk in the light of the Word. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, if there's something wrong in our life, and we're walking in the light, my Father, which loves me so much, and He loves you so much, He will shine the light on it. Not to harm us, but so that we, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, notice this, cleanseth us. Cleanse, C-L-E-N-S-E-E-T-H. That is an ongoing deal. He didn't cleanse me just yesterday. He cleanseth. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus said, and I'm stand. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, Jesus said this.
Oh, I licked the wrong thing.
John 3 and 19. He said, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And that tasted nasty. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Notice it didn't say he that believeth the light, but he that doeth truth comes to the light. I want to walk in the light. Walk in the light, beautiful light. What's the rest of it, Sister Allred? Well, she may not. Anyway, I want to walk in the light. When I was a kid, we sing a song said, I saw the light, I saw the light, no more in darkness, no more in night. Now I am so happy, no sorrow in sight, praise the Lord, I saw the light, oh, I saw